right, comrades, let's kick this can down the road. It's time for Freedom Frenzy. Actually, this was a non-scheduled program because your host, Jerry DeMars, forgot that Jenny had told me at least two times earlier this week that she wanted off for today for some personal reasons, and I forgot. And, you know...
Hi, Jerry. I have whiplash.
She has decided to jump in and bail my butt out. She's sort of like the federal government, and I'm probably like the state of...
Jerry! Starting with insults this morning. It was so funny because I get on and I'm all by myself. Like, wow, I'm on time. I'm early. Where is everybody? And then we're 10 seconds to airtime, and I'm going, are we doing a show today? And I had this split second of... oh, goody goody gumdrops. Now I can cut out all my pattern pieces. And within like a 15 second span, I had the morning off and now I'm back at work. So I have whiplash.
Well, it's all my fault.
No, it's all good. Hey, I have a bone to pick with you.
You do.
Mister, garner yourself some Rhode Island Reds and don't even tell me about it.
Well, it just happened yesterday evening.
Well, you had to think ahead. They had to be ordered.
No. You know, I live out here in the country, and you can get that stuff at some of the local hardware sort of style stores. And we did. As a matter of fact, I think there's two or three places here in metropolitan Carrollton that you can buy chicks.
I want a chicken so bad. I'm green with envy.
And Elaine went down yesterday, and she bought four Rhode Island Red pullets, and she even got a chicken starter kit, which included food, a waterer, a feeder, and one of those light kits with the heat lamps like you keep French fries at McDonald's warm with, and an extra bulb too for $20.
Wow. All right. I got to go get me some chickens today. I'm going to have to call my landlord. It is okay with our covenants as long as they're my pet chickens. And I'm not using them for commercial reasons.
Well, some of the literature that we got there would suggest that chickens really don't make good pets.
Jerry.
Now, your mileage may vary. He's not a listener, is he?
No.
This would be prima facie evidence that you knew that chickens didn't make good pets.
Well, I grew up on a farm, and I already know chickens make awesome pets. Name me another pet that you can chase down, grab by the tail feathers, and launch immediately in the opposite direction to the quack, quack, quack as they sail back down. That is a big stress reliever, Jerry, and that's a wonderful pet. I don't know if that's next egg production.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can reach under them every once in a while and come out with hen fruit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm so jealous.
Oh, it's going to be a neat experiment. And, you know, I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, you're really a special person. You're a nurturer, and I'm not. And you know...
Uh-oh. I don't know if I'm a nurturer. My children would not say that I am a nurturer. They say, Mom really loves us, but she loves us with tough love. Yikes. Yeah, Elaine is definitely a nurturer. I'm so happy for you, Elaine. Congratulations on your four peeps.
She calls them peeps, too.
I know. I got That's the email. Weird.
Oh, okay. I'd forgotten about that. My bad. I had forgotten. Anyway. Yeah, we got those guys. They're in a big, long plastic tub, and she's actually got them up in her sewing room because we can't put them outside for another, I think she said, 6 weeks, which gives us an ample opportunity to do something along the lines of building a coop.
That'll be awesome, Jerry. That's so cool. And then we'll all get to hear about this unfolding experience. And I wonder if some of our audience will be motivated to go out and get some chicks at their local tax store.
That's a good suggestion.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org.
All right, here we go. It's time for Hit and Run News, and this very first item that I've got today, while it sort of touches on news, it's really kind of an unusual rant, and I'm just going to jump into it. You'll see what I mean in here just one second. I must tell you that when I read this short piece, in all fairness, it was probably promoted by the photo that accompanied it, but it caused me to hearken back to a film that was out when I was a younger man, and that was Stanley Kubrick's movie, A Clockwork Orange. And those of you that have seen it, you'll probably recognize that it was a satirical piece produced that I think was intended to both point to the decline of the moral conscience, insofar as the people, and then the reaction of government to deal with it, the insane or inane reaction of government to deal with it. That said, here's the information that spawned all of this. Researchers have become interested in developing biomedical technologies capable of intervening in the biological processes that affect moral behavior and moral thinking. And that comes from a Wellcome Trust Research Fellow at Oxford University's Uhiro Center, a fellow by the name of Dr. Tom Douglas. He's a co-author of a book entitled Enhancing Human Capacity, published this week. Dr. Douglas tells us that drugs that affect our moral thinking and behavior already exist, but we tend to not think of them in that way. Prozac, for instance, lowers aggression and bitterness against one's environment, and so could be said to make people more agreeable. Or oxytocin, the so-called love hormone, increases feelings of social bonding and empathy while reducing anxiety. Scientists will develop more of these drugs and create new ways of taking drugs we already know about. As you might recall, last Tuesday, our program was devoted to bringing to you, our listeners, our research on Cyrus Scofield, author of the Scofield Reference Bible. Now, I know some of you are sitting there wondering, saying to yourselves, what's Scofield got to do with this? And I must admit, my mentioning him is only tangentially pertinent. I did it, though, because I wanted to call to your minds the various connections. You might recall that I mentioned the Rhodes Scholarship Program. You know, it's that advanced education received by the likes of Bill Clinton, Robert Reich, Strove Talbot, and Richard Lugar, just to mention a few names that I think you'll probably recognize. Then I told you about the connection between them and Oxford University. Of course, that's where the Rhodes Scholarship Program is conducted. The Oxford University Press, the publishers of Scofield's work, and their further adulteration of the Bible with new, more radical references of their very own. And now, here in this story, we find that the very same university, Oxford University, is behind research designed for, and I will quote, developing biomedical technologies capable of intervening in the biological processes that affect moral behavior and moral thinking. So, let me make sure I got this right. We've got intellectual brainwashing and chemically based conditioning of the psyches of the populace all being promoted by the very same institution responsible for training a steady flow of commissars and reprobates, all infused with the idea that their worldview and desires for humanity are the best, and they are willing to stoop to nothing to institute them, whether you want to agree or not. Is it just me? Or is there a connection here? Are all these things sufficient to be labeled a conspiracy against mankind? Or no? What do you think?
Well, of course I think it's a conspiracy if you're asking me.
Well, I'm just asking everybody. It's blatant. And, you know, the web, it's becoming more and more apparent. And I think, you know, one of the things that has caused this to come about, our awakening to what's going on around us, of course, has been the internet. We can't get this sort of information from mainstream media. And, you know, as you go out there and just look, and all I was doing, boys and girls, was looking for a news story to bring to you, and I stumbled on this, and I'm sitting there, good God, look at what they're doing. And like I said, it made me think of the Kubrick film. And I hope if you haven't seen that, maybe you'll go out and check it out. I will caution you, though, it does have some gratuitous sex in it that you might not be much wanting to see. All right, dear.
What Kubrick film?
A Clockwork Orange.
Did you mention that?
Yes, it was in the lead of my story. Oh, you want me to do it again so you can get it?
No. I was digging around for my cabling needle. Maybe I missed it. I was paying attention to everything else.
What did I talk about?
Did Kubrick die?
You know, I don't know. He may have.
Okay, let me write down that Kubrick.
I've seen most of his flicks, though.
Did he do Eyes Wide Shut?
I don't think so.
All right, tell me the name of the Kubrick film again.
A Clockwork Orange.
A Clockwork Orange. All right.
I'm really surprised you've not seen that, because it seems like every half generation it comes to the fore again and people start talking about it.
My husband picks the movies typically because I'm not motivated. I'm rarely motivated enough to actually go and get a movie to watch. I find most of them a stupid waste of time. And at the end, I'm kind of like, well, there's 2 hours. I wish I could have back. But, and so John typically chooses, action kind of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, this is somewhat of an action movie. And if you do watch it, you'll probably want to have the kidlings everywhere else, but in the room where you're watching the movie.
I don't watch it with my kids. Even if it's VeggieTales, I watch it without them. I just don't think at night I should have to spend time with people I download.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just telling you that you'll enjoy at some level. I'm just telling you the treatment of the William Tell Overture in the movie.
Oh, wait a second. William Tell Overture. Now this is, maybe I have seen that movie. All right. I'm moving on.
All right.
You want to hear my today in history?
Well, if you want to give it to me, I'll hear it.
All right. April 7th, 2011. I kind of hinted at this yesterday. April 7th, 1862, Union forces led by General Ulysses S. Grant. Wasn't he a slave owner?
Yeah, sure was.
Slave owner, General.
Even after the war, back when he went back to Ohio.
Grant defeated the Confederates at the Battle of Shiloh in Tennessee.
Ooh. That was obligatory.
Yes, it was obligatory. In 1788, an expedition led by General Rufus Putnam, I think Rufus is such a fun name, established a settlement at present-day Marietta, Ohio. Speaking of Ohio, in 1798, the Mississippi Territory was created by an act of Congress. Did they have the authority to do that?
Well, they have to be admitted. And I think Congress is the one that does it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it happens.
In 1927, on April 7th, the image and voice of Commerce Secretary Herbert Hoover were transmitted live from Washington to New York in the first successful long-distance demonstration of television. I actually read a whole book on that quite a few years ago. It's very interesting. In 1939, Italy invaded Albania. In 1948, the World Health Organization was founded in Geneva, endangering the health of the entire globe.
1948 was kind of a bad year, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was a bad year for everybody. We did not do well in 1948 as a human species. Let's see. Oh, this is kind of interesting. In 1969, the Supreme Court in Stanley versus Georgia unanimously struck down laws prohibiting private possession of obscene material.
I don't remember that. And I was alive at that time.
My mom was, let's see, all of, I don't think she could vote yet at that time. She was 15.
Hmm. So that must have come before the Supreme Court ruling that left it up to the individual localities to determine what was obscene.
Well, if they unanimously struck down obscene material laws, then it wouldn't matter what was obscene or wasn't, as long as...
Yeah, but see, that probably... Oh, they struck down obscene material laws.
Yeah, they struck down...
I didn't understand that's what you said. I thought you said something actually diametrically opposed to that.
So I'm curious about these pedophiles and whether or not their private possession of obscene material is considered a lawful right. That's kind of interesting. All right. Well,
after watching the Mark Stevens videos that I watched last night, I have to ask you the question. Isn't that providing a service at the point of a gun?
Oh, I'm not justifying the whole thing, Jerry. I'm not for providing a service at the point of a gun.
Okay.
At all. Right. Not even remotely.
Any more important dates?
Not really. There's some stuff about the ongoing war and terror.
Oh.
1 year ago, North Korea said it had convicted and sentenced an American man. It's interesting they don't put U.S. citizen. To 8 years in a labor prison for entering the country illegally and unspecified hostile acts. Ah, they sound like Americans.
Maybe it was a Marine that showed up in a rowboat. What do you think?
This is Freedom Frenzy, y'all. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
All right, you know, one of the common themes on this program as we work with you guys every week is to give you a heads up about things going on around the planet that serve to indicate the political imbroglio we find ourselves in and the economic circumstance that we find ourselves in. Now, here's another load of straw on the back of the world's financial camel. Portugal has asked for a bailout from Europe's trillion-dollar rescue fund. They did this yesterday. They are now the third European nation in a year to need outside financial help to overcome a crisis driven by high public debt, weak banks, and slow growth. Kind of sounds like a place we all love, doesn't it? The request to the European Commission came as Portuguese officials acknowledged that escalating borrowing costs and a political deadlock in the country had put it at risk of being unable to raise the funds it needs to keep its government operating. No amount was specified in the notice sent to the outgoing Prime Minister José Sócrates that the country intends to tap an emergency fund established by the European Union last year to help Greece. The fund has also been used by Ireland, and there's no doubt that there's probably going to be other people at that trough. But European officials and outside analysts have estimated the figure will be as much as $100 billion. That's piker money compared to what we're doing, isn't it, dear?
holy cow, where are they coming up with the $100 billion?
They're printing it. Poofa, 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 poofa. There's another billion. That's all they're doing. That's why gold and silver all around the planet. And you know, it's like we talked about yesterday. I laugh when I look at the price of gold and silver and then click over. You know, I've got it on my BlackBerry now where I can watch the United States dollar index real time and the price of gold and the price of silver real time. And gold and silver are going up. And the dollar index, occasionally it flashes green, and it seems to have found a new home, bouncing back and forth between 75 and 76. And I'm sitting there laughing. If it's hovering and gold and silver are going up, then all we're really saying is the value of paper relative to paper seems to be standing still, while the value of commodities versus paper is climbing. And now we've got to begin to recognize it's doing it in nearly meteoric fashion. And, you know, one of these days you're even going to start hearing in the mainstream media the use of the word parabolic. I do expect that very, very shortly.
Jerry, tell me this. Will this be the first time in recorded history where all the quote-unquote advanced countries of the globe go into hyperinflation almost simultaneously?
When you put the modifier in there, advanced.
Not third world. All the ones on debt-based monetary systems. Because
in the past,
you know, like right before the French Revolution, France melted down because of, you know, hyperinflation and the debt-based monetary system and radical debts driven up by the elitist class and so on and so forth. And, you know, you had countries taking turns at melting down entirely, but I don't recall a time when everybody melted simultaneously.
Well, you said whole world and advanced. And, you know, if we played with those words just a little bit, we could go back to ancient Rome, because they were technically the whole world, because they pretty much owned it or controlled it militarily. And they're doing the very same things. They were doing the very same things that we find ourselves here, right here in America, and for that matter, all the other countries in the world that have a central bank, where they're doing exactly the same thing. And the outcome is going to be the same.
Isn't that works?
Yeah, and you know, the miracle here, and I call it, it's actually a diabolical miracle, but we've got these people that have seen this come about many. Matter of fact, there's a fellow that I used to go listen talk to once a month, and I will bet you that there's people here on the in our listening audience that would recognize his name, and now that I've said that, I can't remember it.
Are you serious?
Dr. Robert Clarkson. For some reason, it just left me. He's passed away now. He died of cancer, but one of his little presentations, he used to bring a box into the wherever it was he was speaking, and that box was probably a cube 18 inches tall, 18 inches square, and it was filled with various and sundry fiat currencies from all over the planet that had gone defunct because they were entirely worthless. And now I want you to know, this was way before Zimbabwe, okay? And there, you name it, it was in there. And it's just an indication that this model has proved itself to be one that is doomed to failure from the outset. But it benefits the people that perpetrate it the whole time that they're able to keep it going. And some would tell you that our circumstance today, the people that have perpetrated this against us, particularly here in America, have a brand new scheme that they're waiting to run out there when this one collapses. And you know, if the people of our country allow that, if they stand for it, or if they begin to use it, they're absolutely deserving of the results. We're going to cut away to a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
You know, Jenny, while we're on the topic of economics, I've got a little bit more information here that we can throw into the cauldron and stir up. John Malden, a financial analyst and author of Endgame, The End of the Debt Supercycle and How It Changes Everything, that's the name of a book, by the way, thinks that the United States will soon be forced to confront the fact that it has borrowed way too much in the past few decades, and it will have to severely cut back. This is that danged if you do and danged if you don't thing I was talking about yesterday. Malden says the world is coming to the end of a 50-year debt supercycle, and the austerity required to put us back on solid financial footing will literally hammer ordinary Americans. The United States' $1.6 trillion a year deficit, Malden believes, must quickly be cut all the way down to approximately $300 billion a year, or the United States will face a debt crisis. And given that our current government can barely find ways to chop $30 billion, and you know, that it's laughable, all this discussion over a mere $30 billion cut in spending from the 2011 budget, these cuts, the cuts that we're talking about, in other words, 80% of the deficit we're talking about, they're going to be pretty painful. What will the forced austerity mean for ordinary Americans? Well, it's going to come in the form of higher taxes, significantly reduced Medicare and Medicaid spending, and that's just for starters, according to Malden. And then cuts to almost everything else in the budget, including that sacred cow, military spending.
Gas, that'll be the last year. Yes.
And who does this sound like? Who does this sound like? And let's go back 3 years. It was a guy running for president. What was he saying?
Are you talking about Ron Paul?
No. How did you guess?
I know. You know, Ron Paul really has had a steady, calm demeanor over the last three decades. He's not a ranting, raving, angry lunatic because he knows that given enough time, the American people will wake up and see the brilliance of what he says. And now that everyone is going into panic mode, even the media is flocking to the feet of wise old Ron Paul as to why are we here and how do we get out?
Well, in addition to goring the ox of military spending, Malden says that education is also going to be placed on the altar too.
Hallelujah. Let me just tell you, after spending an hour at a playground where my son, one of my sons, takes gymnastics and they have an after school program at this gymnastics, and my children guessed that these were all government educated children. My children are brilliant compared to what's out there. I can't imagine anything better for America than the entire government education system to melt down tonight.
Yeah.
School.
Or earlier today, anyway.
Earlier today. Yeah, that really is the best.
Well, in other words, what Malden's talking about, as has so often been the case in the past couple of decades, the middle class is going to bear the brunt of this ordeal. Now, with the shrinking middle class bearing the brunt of the economic disaster that has been cooked up by Congress and the Federal Reserve, head scratching certainly seems in order when one thinks that the mere imposition of a greater still tax burden is going to play well with the people in Peoria. In fact, such a cavalier attitude, much like that of, let's say, let them eat cake. You know, that famous saying by Marie Antoinette, which caused her to lose her pretty little head, may result in far graver repercussions than the American oligarchy has even factored in. I say that because in my conversations with the people that I come in contact with, there seems to be a growing level of distrust, dissatisfaction, and in some instances, frankly, unbridled despair. And who can say just how big a powder keg has actually been created? Surely to God, the people haven't ingested that much Prozac and fluoride. Malden's comments seem to echo that possibility. We generally only accept change in the face of necessity, and we only see necessity in the face of a crisis, says Malden. The odds are we'll have to have a crisis that might lead to a longer-lasting recession. What's the betting line on open revolt in America, I wonder? Can you get that from Las Vegas, dear?
Yeah, I kind of wonder that myself. You know, are you done with that piece?
Yeah, indeed I am. That was my exit piece. That was my exit line, actually.
Joe in Pennsylvania.
I have more on economics. I've been piling this stuff up because we really haven't had an opportunity to talk about any of this at length. There's some more stuff.
Put this out there, and then you can go back to economics because I'm really enjoying your bits. But Joe in Pennsylvania had emailed us, and he made a really good point, which got me to thinking. The real way, I think, to make the empire fall quickly is to completely undermine the public transportation system on every level in every county in America. And by that, I mean start bullying legislators to get rid of the driver's license requirements, the vehicle tag requirements, and start undermining the municipal court by everybody going to trial.
because they will never be able to deal with so many people. All you have to do is say, I want a jury trial. I'm sticking with the jury trial. Even though, of course, there's no fairness and you have to do all this homework and figure out the bureaucracy. Even if you don't want to do that, simply clogging the system will start shutting it down. And we have got to go after these officers with personal liability civil suits, I guess, in civil court, to start intimidating them into being very nervous about what they do, supposedly under orders and so on and so forth. And Joe had said something, I don't remember his exact reference, but what he said got me to thinking about that, Jerry. If we could just undermine the transportation hoax, it would do so much. That's how the government holds us in constant and perpetual fear and abeyance, and obedience.
Mm-hmm. That's one of them. And you know what's interesting about the tactic that you just mentioned, just deciding that you're going to have a jury trial in all the instances of traffic court citations,
yeah,
is that you'll have a yardstick to measure the effectiveness of that plan. And you know what that yardstick would be?
What?
Over time, because they would be overwhelmed, two things would happen. Probably the very first one would be there would actually be a secret, stealthy message sent out to local law enforcement. Whoa, please don't write any more tickets.
Yes, exactly.
And the second one would be, and this might actually be the first wave, the amounts of money that they would try to extract from the people would probably start to fall. In other words, a fine for doing, let's say, 80 and a 55, which probably today is somewhere around $500. And I don't know because I haven't been to traffic court in a long, long time. Okay, but let's say it's $500. If they were overwhelmed by all these people not willing to pony up that $500 and go their merry way, and they were all of a sudden burdened to the nth degree with all these people clamoring for jury trials, I have a sneaky suspicion that $500 fine would probably go down to maybe $150 in hopes that people might say, you know, $150, that's doable. I could pay that and go my merry way and leave these guys behind me. And what's a few points on my driver's license? I haven't been down here in 3 years, but we would have those two yardsticks by which we could assess the impact. And it would actually be kind of fun to watch it happen.
Yeah.
Film at 11. You know, one of those films. Here's the line at the local county courthouse where.
Well, exactly. If people, I mean, it would be so immediate. If everyone, I mean, the municipal court cashiering section, they had 8, 9, 10 cashiers going at it full time with tons of people milling about waiting to write their check. And if all those people immediately said, nope, I'm pleading not guilty and I want a jury trial, just the people from that one 20-minute session that I was down there in cashier room, that would really gum up the works, because a single trial can take hours and hours. And they only do jury trials, I think, twice a day, 2 days a week. And so it would radically alter their modus operandi and cause big changes immediately.
Well, let me ask you a question. How much money were they trying to extract from you, dear?
$200.
And how much money do you think that they have spent answering all your motions and just the time that you've spent at the courthouse tying up their people?
Well, I don't know what the going hourly wage is, but if you were to pull up my my thing, which is public information, you can pull up my ticket data. It spans two pages of all, not two complete pages, but you have to move on from page number one to page number two to see all the motions, actions, judge decisions, and everything else. So they have paid well over $200 trying to corner me.
So your actions have made the whole situation negative, a revenue negative for them, right?
Oh, that's exactly right. It has absolutely been negative. Revenue negative.
And you've been going at this how long now?
Since September 12th, 8 months. And this is
delicious.
They have requested a continuance so they don't have to go to court with me. The first time, which was in February, the prosecutor convinced the judge to do a continuance of motion without counting it against the prosecution because I had a kid with me. And they felt like, you know, even though the courtroom rules said nothing about a child being in attendance, that wasn't the best situation. So they pushed my trial forward 8 weeks or 7 weeks. And then this time the prosecution filed a motion for continuance, which was granted by the judge. So, you know, this makes twice that they pushed it off. And now they pushed it off in other ways previous. I was supposed to go to court to trial in December, and then they looked at my motions and said, oh, well, you need to be assigned a pretrial date. And then at the pretrial, that's when the judge ordered, and that was in January, the judge ordered. So actually three times the prosecution has put off me going to trial. While I'm sitting there, jury assembled, waiting to go in the courtroom.
Yeah, and you know, I would imagine there's a substantial cost to them that they're never, even if you went down there today and said, you know, you guys are right, I'm going to go ahead and give you this $200, they'd still be way money in the hole. But they would probably be very, very glad to take that money from you in more ways than one, wouldn't they?
Over my dead body. Well,
oh, yeah, you've got way too much invested to turn back now.
Well, it doesn't even matter if I was at the beginning of the road. I don't care if this road stretches in front of me for 10 years. They are not getting my money, and I don't care if I have to appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court. This is unjust. They are tyrants, and they are coming down.
I think you've I think you're going to make some heavy duty impact here, dear. I really do.
But all I know is I've been made a certain way, and I don't care if I spend the rest of my life doing that or this one. It will be time well spent, Jerry.
Yeah, it's that terrier with a sock. I'm telling you.
That's exactly right. I'm holding on to that sock. If you guys want to join us today, 1-800-313-9443. And I hope that more people, if you're running into your local costumed officers, that you'll call in and tell us about it. Tell us what you're doing. Because like I said yesterday, I'm not an attorney. I don't know what I'm talking about. I am simply grappling around in the dark, looking for the light switch. And I'm telling you the things I have bumped into on that journey. So, you too call in and share if you want to.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. We get some more, real live experiences of some of the people out there in the listening audience, just to kind of, gild the lily a little bit. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, shall I get back to economics now?
Please do.
Okay. Wildly successful hedge fund manager, a gentleman by the name of Eric Sprott, says that he sees continued gains in silver and gold. And Sprott is the chief investment officer and chief executive officer of Sprott Asset Management. And he says that he sees no bubble in gold, calling it wildly underowned when viewed in historic terms. But if you want to get this gentleman really worked up, you would ask him about silver. Because he says that even at three-decade highs of silver near $40 an ounce, silver will more than double from here. What would change his mind? Get this now. This is what would get Eric Sprott disinterested in gold and silver. Global stability and rational central bank behavior.
Oh, that's right around the corner, Jerry.
Well, that amounts to nothing, actually, in other words.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Snowball's chance in hell is better.
Well, when pressed for price forecasts, Sprott envisions $2,000 gold and $50 silver are really easily attainable here in 2011. But he's got the kind of macro bullishness that leads to buying any and all dips, as he believes higher levels for precious metals are inevitable. Sprott says, and with great conviction, that he has owned gold for 11 years and he's never sold any of it. And gold is only his second favorite metal. As befitting a hedge fund manager, Sprott is betting on other assets declining in price as his precious metals soar. He's bearish on base metals, you know, those used in the production of, well, most everything. And he's shorting financial and consumer-related companies. Why should you care? Sometimes it's best to let the numbers speak for themselves. And I think that this is one of those instances.
You know, Jerry, how much silver were you saying is in some of these weapons that are, was it bombs that are being dropped in Libya?
That was the Tomahawk cruise missiles that they were using against Libya. And it was 15.2 kilograms per missile.
And how many ounces is that?
Well, multiply that times, what, 2.2, that's how many pounds, times 16 if you want Avidrupus, times 12 if you want Troy.
Well, give me the number when we come back. This is Kim Brenton.
Hi, babe.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
While we were gone, I did a little bit of calculation. Jenny had asked me to look up, or figure out rather, how much silver the Tomahawk cruise missiles that they had launched on the first day of the assault against Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, not really against Libya. Each one of those Tomahawk cruise missiles, like I said, had 15.2 kilograms of 0.999 silver in them. Now, if you do the math, that comes out to an Avidrupus weight, which is, you know, what they sell bread and that kind of stuff in, it comes out to 535 ounces, roughly. And then if you convert that number, same number, to troy ounces, which is what you typically would buy silver in, it comes to a little bit over 401 ounces. And if you multiply that by the spot price right now today, that's 15,830 some odd dollars worth of silver in each one of those missiles. And how many missiles did they launch on day one, dear?
Well, rumor has it 112. And was that the U.S.?
Yeah, just the U.S. Well, they said Britain and the United States, but I'm not certain how that arrangement actually breaks down. So let's just say that the Allied junta launched, are you ready? Are you ready? 1,773,464.80 worth of silver. They actually increased the value of the real estate in Libya by that much money in silver on day one of the current escapades there in Libya. And you know what's really weird? I read a story the other day. I didn't bring it because I didn't think it was that great of a story, but it was just an interesting factoid. The people on the ground there, the rebels, have been whining that NATO isn't doing enough. They're not doing enough by attacking Muammar Gaddafi for them. And they've been whining. So, and NATO stepped up their activity, and now the rebels are complaining that some of their folks are getting killed too.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those catch-22 situations, isn't it?
Well, you know, the United States is really an equal opportunity killer, equal opportunity thug. Anybody's an option.
You know, I've been sitting on a story because I figured you would have probably picked this up from, what is that, Natural News?
Yeah.
And I had picked it up and made a note of it and actually had a couple of people send it to me. But I've been sitting on it figuring you would hatch it.
Oh, just in case I caught you cheating on me with Natural News. That's so sweet, Jerry. Go ahead. You offer it up.
Okay. Alternative health practitioners in North Carolina and their patients need your help to defeat a stealth bill that flew under the radar of most everyone in the natural health community. Senate Bill number 31, which clarifies the penalties for unauthorized practice of medicine, essentially criminalizes the practice of unlicensed forms of medicine, which would include the work of many naturopaths, homeopaths, herbalists, aromatherapists, and even some midwives in that state. The bill was adopted by a judiciary committee in early March and has recently passed the North Carolina Senate. Now the North Carolina House is set to vote on the bill tonight unless North Carolina, well, gosh, this is old now. Look at there. And unless North Carolina Governor Bev Perdue is going to veto it, whether or not she has or not. Now, this is old stuff. I told you I've been sitting on this. The practice of natural medicine for many in North Carolina may soon become a more severe criminal offense. I'm surprised you didn't bring this, dear. I really am.
Somehow it missed me.
Okay, we're going to cut away to a break, and when we come back, we still got a lot of show to go. Don't be bashful. Give us a call. Bye-bye.